Hussam Abdelaziz, I am from Sharjah, the United Arab Emirates. I'm currently living in Washington, D.C. I am an artist and a writer.
I'm Michelle Schifaletti, and you're listening to Thaqafat. Since the 1980s, the United Arab Emirates has emerged as a hub for contemporary art. Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Sharjah have all widened the reach of the contemporary art scene. The UAE has become not only a regional hub, but also an international hub with a global reach. Ebtissam Abdelaziz is a multidisciplinary artist and writer. She incorporates her unique perspective on mathematics and the structures of systems to explore issues of identity and culture. Her work is showcased through installations, performance pieces, and works on paper. They reveal her fascination with systematic ways to produce emotionally and intellectually meaningful forms of expression. Welcome, Ebtissam. Why don't you share with us a little bit about your upbringing and your journey to becoming an artist?
First of all, thanks for having me. I'll start from the beginning. I think I was born to be an artist. I was completely different from my brothers and sister.
Four girls and two boys. I enjoyed being alone in my corner, just sitting there painting and doing lots of coloring. I remember I had so many coloring books, and I even made my own dolls. So I wasn't happy with the Barbies, and like I didn't want my doll to be just like my sister's doll. So I wanted to create something different, something new. And also, like, I grew up in a very artistic kind of environment. My dad himself was an artist. That we were like a lot, like six kids, so he had to give up his art to manage this big family. So I remember growing up seeing him doing lots of calligraphy. He had an amazing handwriting. He did lots of photography. And I remember at school when our art teacher or science teacher would ask us to do like a drawing project about something, he would help us and draw things for us. And my mom, she's like housewife. She didn't get lots of education, and she wanted us, the girls, to be better than her. So, but she had like an amazing voice, and I remember she used to sing for us. She really was into fashion and makeup. So I think that's left a lot of impact in how I see art. And being a kid, I felt that this is the right environment for me to be in.
Yeah, and it seems like you grew up in just an artistic household in general.
Yes, that's true.
How was your experience growing up in the UAE? Do you feel like in any way that played a role in the works that you do today and just in general for being an artist?
Being in the UAE, like the architecture, the heritage, left a lot of, for example, when I do systematic and geometric stuff, I see the building, I see the architecture there back home, I see like big museums, I see more. So it definitely shaped my way of thinking and how I see the world. In the UAE, I remember my dad used to bring culture and art magazines. I think they were published in Kuwait, and one of his friends used to visit us from Kuwait. And I remember he was like, why are you reading about philosophy? Do you understand this? You're like 12. The newspaper, I remember Khalij al-Ittihad, they had like a culture and art section, and I was only maybe 10 or 12. So I was really interested in that. So definitely growing up in the UAE, reading a lot about the culture, whether in the UAE or in the other Gulf cities, maybe in Iraq or, you know, in Tunis or in Egypt. So it left a lot of big impact in how I see things and how I'm gonna maybe make my art. And in fact, I remember when I was a kid, well, I would think I was maybe six, and my mom was looking for me, and I was in my corner in the living room, and I remember I will hide behind the sofa in the majlis. So I will hide there because I don't want anyone to, you know, disturb me while I'm making my art. So she kept calling, and she thought that I was missing. So she called my dad in his office. And I remember hearing his voice, and that was around me before. And I'm like, huh, why my dad is at home? He's very early today. And then he was calling, and then he turned on the light, and he looked. you know, behind the sofa. And he's like, oh my God, you're here. We thought we missed you. Maybe you left the house. And I'm like, no, I'm here just doing my art.
Do you feel like, so I know that you studied mathematics, right?
Yeah.
Explain kind of how that affected your work. Because I feel like mathematics is very rigid. And I view art as not the opposite, but talk a little bit about the influence of that mathematics has had on your work and kind of on your identity as an artist.
When I finished my high school, we're talking about 1993, I was supposed to decide what is my major going to be and go to the university. At that time, there was no like an art school, I would say like an art curriculum that I would enjoy. So you could go to Al-Ain University and study art education. So you're going to be an art teacher. And I gave it a try. I went there for just a week just to observe and see things and see if I'm going to like it. Obviously, I did not enjoy it because I didn't like the way they think maybe art was at that time. And I was like, I'm not going to spend like 4 years doing. So I thought, okay, what other subject that I like? So I obviously I thought, okay, math. So why math? Math, I think, is really close to my personality. I am a very nice person, but I could be very sharp.
Blunt.
Yeah. So it's like the way, it's like there is no other solution for this equation, either yes or no. I'm this type of person.
Ever since you were young, even when you were studying mathematics, were you still practicing and exploring your own artistic journey?
Oh, yeah. I was in trouble, actually, speaking about that, because I was doing math. I was good, kind of, but it was like so hard. So hard. So there are like some subject that I could not even figure, but I thought, okay, I'm going to get this degree so I can go and make art. Mm-hmm. But in between, I was doing lots of sketches and drawing. And then I remember when I said I got in trouble, I was in my room, or maybe while I'm studying, doing my exams, you know, I was just drawing on the walls. So I made a huge sketch and drawing in this wall thinking, oh, it's pencil, I'm gonna, you know, erase it later. So every night, of course, they will have to do attendance to make sure that all students are home. And then she knocked on my door. I said, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't come to your office to. And she's like, no, it's okay, I understand, I'm sure you're busy studying. And then in the background she saw that drawing, and I was like, oh my God. So I saw her face, her first completely changed from being a nice person to a monster. And then, but before she left, she was like, but you know what, Ibtissam? It was an amazing painting. And I feel bad asking you to erase this and paint over it, but you have to do this. I said, okay, promise me not to, you know, make any report about me. So, and she's like, yes.
So how did you make that transition then to, you know, studying? And I mean, I think you were born an artist, it seems. But how did you then kind of start building your profile as an artist? Because I think there's a lot of people who have these amazing talents as an artist, but they don't know maybe how can they take that jump from maybe their day job to really pursuing art as a career?
Right. I think, I mean, it's always, I'm sure you know it's different for everybody. But sometimes luck plays. Sometimes it's not about you being lucky. Sometimes you go to a place and you find the right person at the right time, and you know, you can, you know, go and move forward. So I remember I got my degree. I went home. We had our amazing graduation party. Everybody was happy. So I remember I went to my parents' room and I said, here, here's a certificate. If you want, you can like frame it and have it on the wall. I just want to be an artist. And my dad was like, oh, so you wasted your time doing math? I said, no. I said, I would love to go to the Emirates Fine Arts Society. I heard a lot about it and I want to join them at least during the summer. I want to learn more about art, what is art, improve my skills. He's like, okay, this woman is not going to be quiet. I had to give her what she needs. So he drove me there. And And he waited outside. I said, I'm going to ask questions and I'm going to get back to you. So I went there, I met the secretary, Mr. Sayed, I remember at that time, and I said, hey, I heard that you guys are doing summer workshops, I would love to join. And he's like, you are so, so lucky, today is our first day. And I was like, oh my God. So I went to the car and I said to dad, you know what, just go home. And he's like, why? I said, they're starting today. So, and then speaking of luck, I was lucky to meet Hassan Sharif and to meet Mohammed Kadhim. So I start there. I learn how to draw. I learn how to use acrylic oil, like the basic things that you will learn in an art school.
More formal training to what you had already been practicing.
So that was, I think, the beginning, being at the right time and meeting the right people and being in the right place.
How would you describe your style to somebody that's not familiar with your work?
So I started like a painter. And then I was sitting in the studio thinking, what is art? Thinking, is this what I wanted to do? Am I going to be a painter? And then I had so many crazy big ideas, and the canvas was completely really small. And I thought the canvas and the painting and the brushes is not the right medium for these concepts. And then I remember Mohammed Kadhim came to the studio and he's like, what's wrong? So I start crying and I said, what is art? Who am I? What I'm doing here? This is not what I want to do. And he's like, so what do you think? I said, well, I wrote a couple of ideas and if you don't mind, can you take them to Hassan Sharif? And then Hassan Sharif was the godfather of like the conceptual, experimental, different kind of art. So I got a phone call the next day and Hassan was on the phone. And I said, hi, Hassan. And then he said, I'm not going to say hi or anything. I'm just going to tell you, welcome to the conceptual art world. Whatever you wrote is called conceptual art. And I am welcoming you. And I said, oh my God. So I start crying and I said, you're giving me the permission. And he's like, no one is going to give you the permission. Whatever is doing, you're right. You're on the right path. Just go for it. And then I start making the systematic art, which is based on science and numbers and these elements.
It was almost like he gave you, in a sense, a green light. Maybe the green light that you needed internally to pursue that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, I started from there. And then I, like everybody, I exhibit some of my art here and there, still within the UAE group exhibitions. And I thought, okay, it has been more than 4 years. I think I should do a solo exhibition. The museum director called me and he's like, I really love your paintings. If this time, I don't think I'm going to have this exhibition. I don't think this is art. So when we think about my generation and this generation and hearing my story, you think the museum director should know better. And I'm like, oh my God. So I have to, you know, fight for my right to show whatever I want to convince my people that this is art. And that bring me to the other subject, which is me becoming a writer. I wasn't forced to be a writer. I enjoy writing, but I had to educate my people at that time.
Do you feel like at the time that was controversial, especially maybe in the UAE? Do you think that was something that wasn't quite explored yet at that time?
Yeah. So I wasn't upset. I didn't take it personally. I was like, okay, so he loved my painting. I introduced myself as a painter. Everybody appreciates that. But I don't feel that this is my language anymore. It's the time for my people to understand that art could be any form. So I had to write and I had to convince whoever was around at that time that this is art. I am not going back to do the traditional paintings. And then big changes happening, maybe I think a year later, where the whole Sharjah Biennial changed when Sheikh Fahour, and they brought an art curator to, you know, take care of this thing instead of having, you know, just everybody in this show. So they select art. So that was like a big slap on the face, like, here you go. It's not just going to be paintings. It's not going to be friendly, you know, exhibition. There is someone who is judging.
I want to talk about your performance pieces. When I've seen your performance pieces, I saw one of them in Washington, D.C., and you think maybe when you're watching it, it's something. Then when you watch it for five more minutes, you think something else. I find it very like thought-provoking. Share a little bit about kind of your performance work and your inspiration behind those, because you talk about your progression from kind of traditional paintings now to conceptual art.
Yeah, I remember my first performance piece was in 2007 about me, my society, my culture, issues that we human beings are dealing with every day. Most of my concepts are raising an awareness of things that we need to change. So in 2007, I did this piece where I'm wearing a black suit that had numbers. Start doing this project, I was just collecting my bank statements. So for 2 years, and I didn't know what I was gonna do with them, but I know that these numbers are like an autobiography, a diary. It says a lot about my life. So on the statements, you see the, you know, the year, the day, and the time, and then you see the location of that ATM machine. So I thought numbers could represent your life. And then one day I was like, you know, the aha moment. So yeah, I print them on like fabric, cotton fabric. I would want to do something maybe that glows in the dark and get more attention so people can see that art is not something that you only see in the museum. And that's the other way to educate my people. So in the street, art could be for anybody, whether you're like an art collector or like a normal guy or uneducated person. It was so super weird, first of all, for a woman to do live show, I would call it, to be out in the street. And I know I was ready for rejection, because I thought, okay, number one, I am going to cover my entire body. I'm not going to let anyone think, oh, she's doing something anti-Islamic, or, oh, she's doing something against the culture. You know, so I was ready to fight for my right to do a live performance.
What were the reactions to that piece in general? I'm sure you had mixed reactions.
Yes. Well, I think in the video, I captured some of the funny reactions. And then the other guy, which is, I think, everywhere, like men sometimes see women as a sexual object. So he was like looking, scanning my entire body. And then I had to speak up for myself. And I was like, you guys need to stop shooting this. I'm going to have a conversation with this guy. So I went there and I said, hey, salam alaikum. And he said, alaikum salam. I said, what's up? And he was like, what is this? I said, well, what do you think? And he's like, are you shooting like an advertisement, a commercial? I said, well, no, I am an art piece. And he's like, what do you mean an art piece? I said, this is my body. This is an art piece. And I explained the whole concept. He said, oh, yeah, you're right. I really love the concept. And I think I respect you more now. He was like, well, I thought you were like a model. You were like nobody. And I was surprised that you speak Arabic and you have like the Emirati accent. I said, yeah, I'm from the Emirates. I changed his way of seeing things.
I like that you turned off the camera and had a conversation with him, because a lot of people would be like, okay, well, he's judging me, forget it. But I think it's important kind of when you're doing something that maybe isn't like the norm, that you take the time and maybe explain, because people can be receptive, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, even if there's preconceived notions, people, I think, you know, it's about having a dialogue and a conversation that can change people's perspective.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I thought, okay, that is way easier than publishing articles, and I'm just not talking to like a specific audience, just like, you know, writer or artist or like art lovers. And I'm talking to uneducated people who can't even read. I'm in the street, so that is way better.
Do you feel like that makes more of an impact for you?
Yes, for sure, definitely. And I have to be honest, it was super weird. I even cried that day because I mean, I'm sensitive. I always cry. They shouldn't call me Ibtisam. I told my dad, like, Ibtisam, it means smiling. I cried more than a smile. I'm not saying crying of sadness. I was so happy. I had, like, happy tears because I felt that I did something different. I did something. At that time, I did an arto, but then I had a question from this guy, and he was like, you think performance is part of your culture? Basically, he was just talking about me doing something that's against Islam. And I thought, well, do you have anything written in the Quran that says that I'm doing something wrong? If you're going to talk about the Quran, I know a lot about the Quran. So let's start this argument. And then he was like, well, women should cover. And I said, am I not covered in this performance? And then when he says, no, you are covered, then I said, okay, so what is your point? I know that this is something new. And if we see something new and it's not the usual normal thing, so we don't accept it.
That's interesting because I had another guest on this podcast say the same thing. It's hard to go against the norm. I think that's anywhere. But one of the guests mentioned that he felt like there's a lot of restrictions and people are really apprehensive to go against societal norms. So I like that your work kind of pushes boundaries or makes people maybe question, what are the norms?
Yeah.
Not necessarily here is this the norm, but what is the norm and why do you think that's the norm?
Yes, definitely.
What would be your favorite piece that you've ever done? I know that's hard because I'm sure all of them have a special place in your heart.
Yeah, they're like my kids. They're like my babies. I love them all. I would say the autobiography that we just spoke about was one of my favorites. I think it's because it made a big change in the art scene. And in fact, I remember during that show, this one girl, she came and she was really shy and her friend was pushing her and she didn't want to say hi, but she was like crying. I said, hey guys, why don't you come close and talk to me? She's like, she wanted to be talking to you for a while. She's been following you, seeing your art. She's actually in the art school in Sharjah. She's doing art degree and she has been dreaming of making performance and you're like the model, whatever.
She looks up to you.
Yeah, and she wanted to talk to me, but she was scared. And I'm like, well, first of all, come here, give me a hug and stop crying. And number two, it's okay, do performance. It's not something wrong. And she's like, yes, we should take care of the next generation. And by doing that, we're opening a big window. We're making things way easier for the new generation.
It must be rewarding for you in a way to know that you've like inspired other artists.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I did my art because this is my way of expressing me. I didn't think that, oh, one day I'm going to be this person or someday I'll see girls crying because they like my art or they like I inspire them. But it feels so good to know that.
I want to talk about your shift kind of from doing your work in the UAE to now being based in Washington, D.C. Can you talk a little bit about kind of why you made that shift and what have been the implications of kind of moving and in terms of your artistic career?
Yeah, I think the moving was a need, not because I wasn't happy in the UAE or whatever. I go there, I visit, I see my family, I see my nephew and nieces. I go there, I still exhibit there, but I needed that change. I felt that if I stayed there, I would just repeat myself. I got every opportunity that I can get as an artist in terms of showing and, you know, doing things and project with the amazing art institution and, you know, foundations in the UAE.
You felt like it was maybe a progression, like a natural progression?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I need to, it become like, okay, I'm there, they know me, I can get anything. And there was no fun, I think, for me, because I like to challenge myself. So I felt the need of going outside, seeing the other part of the world, and learning more about, you know, other culture.
Yeah.
First year, it was, I think, the toughest year. I did not make any art. I was just sitting there, observing, learning, listening, going to work, like the metro, for example. I decided not to drive, but I thought, no, the best way to get to know the culture, the American, the people, is by, you know, taking public transportation.
You're like a sponge to your environment in a way.
Yeah. But then I could not make art because I was like, oh my God, I am completely free here. Completely free to do anything and everything. And don't get me wrong, in the Gulf and the UAE, I was free.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, to the point, and then I will feel like, oh no, there's some, you know, lines here I don't want to cross. I didn't think that I will even consider talking about, like, not just the social issues, like political things, like race and all of this stuff, because since day one, everybody were like, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm done with this question. Like, people are trying to label you, to put you in a box. I didn't feel that way when I was home. I didn't think that one day I will talk about me being Muslim. I didn't feel the need of doing that back home because I was going all around my people. And now I have to fight for my identity.
It's interesting because it's kind of like all of your work somehow ties back into kind of identity in some way. And now that you're, you know, maybe your questions surrounding identity in the UAE were different than your questions now in the US, specifically in Washington, DC. And then, you know, maybe in your next phase, wherever you decide next, you'll have a whole new meaning of identity.
Yeah, for sure. But then I don't know. So I didn't make lots of art for a year. So the first piece that I did, I was doing this residency upstate in New York. And I found myself creating this wood box-like structure in the dark room. And I was inside the structure trying to feel or questioning how could we build this society structure where we can feel safe and free at the same time. And then I end up breaking the structure. Obviously, that is, you know, when you don't fit in a society structure, or then you question the whole structure, or you break the rule. And
it seems that it was challenging your perceptions of everything.
Sure, yeah, definitely. And I think I needed that.
Yeah. Do you foresee yourself returning to the UAE?
I feel like I'm on a mission. I don't know what is my mission, but I feel like I did not accomplish that, and I still need more time. I feel like I'm not bored yet to go somewhere else or to go back to the UAE.
So I think what's next for you is continuing to discover your new environment. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so remember back home at the beginning, I was trying to educate people about what is art, what is this new form of
art. Right.
And I feel like I'm doing the same thing here in the US, but it's like in a different way. So I did exhibitions and people were like, oh, we didn't know that Muslims can perform, or we didn't know that female are being able to perform. We thought that you guys, women, are just in the home and they cook and, you know, they feed the kids. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm still educating the other part of the world about what is it like to be a female artist from the Middle East. And at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm an art teacher. I have kids, I see them every day and I teach them basic stuff that I didn't get when I was their age.
I like that idea of kind of like not being an ambassador, because I don't believe that just because somebody's living in a country that's not theirs, they have to kind of be an ambassador. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important that people see the diversity, because I mean, I've spoken about this a lot, but I think here there's so many preconceived notions about the Gulf in general. So it's the human to human element is so necessary.
Yes.
So I'm going to conclude with my last question. Mm-hmm. And that is, what does culture mean to you?
I think, long story short, I think everything that I say today is culture. Mm-hmm. I think it's every custom, it's every art, whether it's like ritual art, music, or songs, is culture. And I think it's also the achievement of the nation, whether we're talking about the Arabs or Americans. And culture is identity too. We do things is also culture. So I think it's everything. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I enjoyed our chat today.
But I needed to talk to people, and I need to. Yeah, I needed that. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope everyone enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to see more of Ebtisam's work and the works that we talked about today, you can visit her online at artisteptisamaziz.com or visit her Instagram at ebtisamabdelaziz. You can follow us, as always, at The Thaqafat on Instagram and Twitter. And we look forward to next episode where we continue to connect to the culture. Ma'a salama.